and it was my privilege to name the committee that you see before you on the platform. And I am so very, very grateful for the hours and effort that they have expended in the work of a labor of love regarding our confessional statement. It is a joy at this time for the chair to recognize Dr. Adrian Rogers, chairman of the Baptist Faith and Message Study Committee, for the committee's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we bring this report gladly today and hope that you will approve it and affirm it. And so on behalf of the Committee on the Baptist Faith and Message, I'm very pleased to release this report and recommend it to the Southern Baptist Convention. First of all, I would like to present to you the committee. This has been a delight. It has been a joy. There's a lot of firepower on the committee. I'm talking about those who have intellectual ability, but there's much, much heart. And there was a sweet fellowship and a genuine spirit of unanimity. They met many hours, they prayed, they fellowshiped, and they're happy with the report, and we believe that you will be also. First of all, would you please affirm this committee and thank them very much. They are seated behind me on the platform. And every one of them is a very special person to me. President Paige Patterson appointed our committee by authorization of the convention as it met in Atlanta last year. Meeting over a period of several months, we reviewed the confessional history of our denomination and considered the challenges faced by the Baptists of this generation. We were guided by the rich heritage embodied in the 1925 and 1963 editions of the Baptist Faith and Message, and we have sought to retain all the strengths of that noble heritage to clarify the truths there expressed and to address the needs of our own times. Now, we Baptists cherish our doctrinal inheritance. I want to say this without stutter. We are a people of the book who recognize no other authority for faith and practice but God's Word. Thus, we receive and affirm those doctrines revealed in the Bible, and we are unembarrassed to take our stand upon the solid rock of biblical authority. Our confessions represent statements of those doctrines revealed in the Bible. The Bible is the source of our authority, not merely a support for our historic doctrines. In 1925, the Southern Baptist Convention first adopted the Baptist Faith and Message as a public statement of our faith and doctrine. Nearly 40 years later, faced with new challenges and questions, the convention adopted a revised edition of the Baptist Faith and Message in 1963. Now, again, nearly four decades after the convention's last comprehensive action, a new generation must take up the stewardship of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Our generation faces the reality of a postmodern culture, complete with rampant relativism and denial of absolute truth. A persuasive secularism has infected our society, and its corrosive effects are evident throughout the life of our nation. Moral decay and assaults upon cherished truths dominate the arena in which we must now minister and to which we must now proclaim the gospel. Our profound respect for the heritage of the previous statements is reflected in the intentional decision of our committee to incorporate language from both the 1925 and 1963 editions in our recommendation. Both of these historic statements speak to the present as well as the past. Scripture instructs us always to be ready to give an account for the hope that is within us, and this is our motivation and the cause to which we have dedicated this process. As the Baptists of old acknowledged, each generation faces the responsibility of speaking to the issues of its day and facing the challenges of its own culture. The preface to our report sets forth the rationale and method of our work. With the 1963 committee, we cite the principle set forth by our forebears in 1925 and stated, as in the past, so in the future, Baptists should hold themselves free to revise their statements of faith as may seem to them wise and expedient. We now propose a new edition of our honored confession. This generation must set forth its witness to the truths revealed in the Bible. Where necessary, we have proposed changes and additions to certain sections. We have retained the structure of the confession and the substance of each article. We have proposed no new articles. Several of the articles are presented without any revision at all. Our recommendation is intended to clarify our doctrines for this present age and to define our beliefs against the backdrop of modern confusion. Our hope is that a rising generation of Baptists will recognize the significance of our biblical doctrines and embrace our Baptist heritage and on this confession and own this confession of faith for themselves. Now let me give you a summary, and indeed a brief summary, of what we have endeavored to say. Number one, we have sought to clarify the intention of both previous editions of the Baptist Faith and Message as reflected in Article 1, the Scriptures. And I believe this is highly significant. We have made the total truthfulness and trustworthiness of the Bible even more explicit. And we point to Jesus Christ as the focus of divine revelation. Now listen carefully. We have removed the statement that identified Jesus Christ as, quote, the criterion by which the Bible is to be interpreted, because it has been subject to misunderstanding. Jesus Christ cannot be divided from the biblical revelation that is testimony to him. We must not claim a knowledge of Christ that is independent of Scripture or in any way in opposition to Scripture. Likewise, Scripture cannot be set against Scripture. Something else we've done in context of modern denials of the omniscience, exhaustive foreknowledge, and omnipotence of God, we have reaffirmed the teachings of the Bible and the consistent teaching of our Baptist tradition as reflected in Article 2 on God. That is, we have a God immutable, unchangeable, and who knows no surprises. Number three, we made clear our embrace of the substitutionary character of Christ's atonement under the article of God the Son. There are many wonderful facets of the atonement, but underlining them all is that Christ died for our sins as a substitute for creatures such as we. Next, we have clarified God's creation of human beings as male and female, both made in his image. And we have stated that the gift of gender is thus part of the goodness of God's creation. This is reflected under the article man. Next, we have made clear our affirmation of the blessing of racial and ethnic diversity and acknowledge that all races possess full dignity by the creative intention of God. This is also included in Article 3, man. Given the persuasive influence of postmodern culture, we are called to proclaim Jesus Christ, and this is significant, listen. We are called to proclaim Jesus Christ as the only Savior and salvation in His name alone. Baptists thus reject inclusivism and pluralism in salvation, for these compromise the gospel itself. Here is the key. Salvation comes only to those who call upon the name of the Lord and come to personal faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. That is found in Article 4. Next, the convention has spoken clearly its conviction that while both men and women are gifted and called for ministry, the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by Scripture. Of course, that is found in Article 4 on the church. And then last of all, our Baptist ancestors of a mere generation ago could not have imagined the need to address the issues of abortion, homosexuality, euthanasia, and all manner of deviant and pagan sexuality. We answer with a clear word of biblical correction. And this is found in Article 15, the Christian and the social order. Now that's what this committee has tried to do. So, Mr. President, the committee recommends the adoption of the revised Baptist Faith and Message Statement as proposed in our printed report with an additional paragraph that appears on page 2, column 3 of today's convention bulletin. And you will find that, I believe, on the overhead for you to read. It is there also in your bulletin of today. And therefore, by direction of the committee and its unanimous consent, I move the adoption of the proposed revision. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rogers and committee. Now, the question is on the adoption of the revised Baptist Faith and Message Statement as proposed by the Baptist Faith and Message Study Committee in the report. I need to tell you that the mob box, as we call it up here on the platform that controls the microphones and is a necessary part of the equipment of any gathering this large, is all lit up, which means that a lot of you folks want to speak to it, and that's fine. I need to tell you that the very first amendment that is offered will clear the box, because obviously there has to be the ability to speak positively and negatively to the amendment. Now, don't let that panic you if you're standing there to make an amendment of your own. Just stay where you are, and we're going to try to get to just as many of these as we possibly can. You know what the question is? Are we ready for discussion?
Microphone number 3 has a motion.
Recognize microphone number 3 for a motion. Please state your name and your church.
I am Charles Wade from the First Baptist Church of Arlington, Texas. Brother President, members of the committee, and messengers to the Southern Baptist Convention, while appreciating the additional paragraph added to the preamble which we see highlighted before us, I call to your attention the language in the 1963 Baptist Faith and Message, which will complete the effort the committee has made to keep this document faithful to the Baptist vision. I move to amend the preamble to the 2000 Baptist Faith and Message by inserting, immediately following the paragraph offered by the committee, which we see before us, these sentences from the 1963 preamble. Baptists are a people who profess a living faith. This faith is rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Therefore, the sole authority for faith and practice among Baptists is Jesus Christ, whose will is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. A living faith must experience a growing understanding of truth and must be continually interpreted and related to the needs of each new generation. Throughout their history, Baptist bodies, both large and small, have issued statements of faith which comprise a consensus of their beliefs. Such statements have never been regarded as complete, infallible statements of faith, nor as official creeds carrying mandatory authority. If I can get a second to the amendment, I have just a brief word to explain what I have recommended.
Thank you, Dr. Wade. I have heard a second already. And so there is a motion and a second before the body regarding the amendment.
We need a printed copy.
Dear brother.
Yes, just a moment, if you will. Hold on just a moment. Yes. It will be very important, Dr. Wade, just as quickly as you can, that you get a printed copy of that. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Are we ready?
If there was any way it could be put on the screen, that would be helpful.
Dr. Wade, I'm not sure whether we can or we can't. I assure you we'll do everything within our power, however. But
Thank you, Dr. Patrick. The chair
recognizes you now to speak in favor of your motion.
There are two crucial points to be made in these sentences which I have offered as amendments. The Apostle Paul called on the Philippians to have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he concluded that enormously important Christological passage in Philippians 2 with this resounding word of praise to our Savior. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We are indeed people of the book, but we are also people who bow only before Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is point number one. The sentences in the amendment protect the supremacy of Jesus Christ as the living revelation of our Father. Point number two relates to the issue of whether or not we adopt creeds that have mandatory authority. The words from the preamble in 1963 explicitly deny that these articles can be used in a creedal fashion. I would like to read just three sentences from Dr. Hobbs' little book explaining the Baptist faith and message, revised in 1971. Even to the casual observer, it is evident that all Baptists do not dot every I and cross every T in exactly the same way. There is no such thing as the Baptist faith or the historic Baptist faith. These phrases imply a creedal faith, something which Baptists have always avoided. If we adopt these sentences I have offered, we will protect the Baptist vision for the next century. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Wade, for that. And the chair now recognizes Dr. Rogers or whatever member of his committee wants to respond.
In just a moment, I will ask a member of the committee to respond to that, but I want to say that we, without any stutter, stammer, or apology, agree that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And that has never been a thought in our committee that he was not. And the Christ that we love is the Christ of the Bible. I'm going to ask Dr. Moeller to speak to this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee most certainly does cherish those Baptist concepts of soul competency and the priesthood of all believers. And with the 1925 committee chaired by Dr. E.Y. Mullins, we were confident that those issues were well expressed and protected within the article on the church. At the same time, it was clear, as we heard from Southern Baptists, that they were not clearly seen, and so we have sought to add adequate clarity by bringing the addition to the preamble that you see before you in the daily bulletin and also on the screen. We also wanted to do something else, and that is to make sure that the context was clear and to add a reference to religious liberty, feeling that that would be a significant gain. The committee unanimously asked the convention to stand by the language we have proposed. It is certainly true that it is central to the Baptist vision that there is no human priest who stands between us or above us through whom we must go in order to have direct access to God. It is certainly true that there is no priest, no pope, no prince, and no president who stands between us and God. We stand under God's word. The church is an assembly of priests together. And we cherish that doctrine. We cherish those concepts. We want to remind Southern Baptists that indeed Christ is Lord of the church, and this document as proposed makes clear that it is the scriptures that testify of Christ, and it is Jesus Christ who is Lord of his church. Mr. President, we ask the convention to stand by the language as proposed.
That's microphone number six.
Thank you so much. Microphone number six, do you wish to speak for the amendment? Microphone number six, do you wish to speak for the amendment?
Yes, I do.
All right. The chair recognizes microphone number six.
This is Bruce Prescott, messenger from First Baptist Church of Norman. I speak for the amendment that Dr. Wade has made, because there is a difference in the way we understand soul competency in the old Baptist faith and message and the new that is being proposed. Soul competency, as defined by E.Y. Mullins and Herschel Hobbs, was soul competency under God. That means we are accountable to Jesus Christ, as Dr. Patterson spoke about yesterday. Soul competency, as defined by this committee and expressed by the May 26th statement and this, what's on the board above us, is soul competency under the church. That means that we are accountable to each other's interpretations of the Word of God. We really need to leave us free to be accountable to Jesus Christ. He is the criterion by which the Bible is interpreted. He is the only infallible and inerrant interpreter of Scripture.
All right. Thank you, Prescott, and I recognize the committee. Do you wish to respond?
Thank you very much, and I'm going to ask President Chuck Kelly if he will respond to that.
Yes, we are a fellowship of priests before God and before one another. We remain accountable to God through the revelation of his word. Yes, there has been a new stream of Baptist theology that has attacked historic Baptist theology related to this position. Let me quote from a prominent state paper of Southern Baptist life in reaction to this very issue. Of greater concern to many Baptists is the increasing exaltation of Scripture at the expense of the believer's personal experience with Christ. While the current Baptist faith and message statement speaks of Christ as the criterion for interpreting the Bible, proposed changes would make the criterion for interpreting Christ. Baptists have always believed that the Bible is the judge of our experience and determines the limit of our priesthood. Baptists have always believed that it is the Word of God that filters what I believe, not my personal experience. We will fight to the death for the right of anyone to believe whatever they believe in their conscience before God. But those who call themselves Baptists limit to what we see the Word of God teaching. And we will stand or fall on that Word because we believe that will let us stand forever.
Thank you so much. Microphone number 8, do you wish to speak for the amendment? Microphone number 8. Do you wish to speak for the amendment?
Ask microphone 4 if he wishes to speak for
the amendment. Microphone number 4?
7.
Number 7, I'm sorry. Microphone number 7, do you wish to speak for the amendment?
Yes, Mr. President, I do.
All right. Please state your name and your church, and you may speak.
I am Wayne Ward, messenger of Crescent Hill Baptist Church, Louisville, Kentucky. Mr. President, Jesus Christ is Lord of Scripture. If we begin anywhere in the Bible, Old or New Testament, and fail to come to Jesus as Lord, we are lost still. The Bible does not save us. Jesus does. When we take out his lordship, look where it leaves us. You could follow Moses. Stone adulterers, for example, would empty a lot of political offices and even some Baptist pulpits. You break the neck of rebellious sons, which would destroy a lot of families. Dear friends, the Bible is Scripture, God's written word, yes, but it does not say anywhere, believe on the Bible and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We have to decide whether we're going to stop in the Old Testament with Moses or whether we're going to go on and interpret Moses by Jesus and not Jesus by Moses. The Bible is not a flat iron. It is not to be pressed out and made equal to Jesus. The supreme revelation of God is Jesus Christ, and thank God all the Scripture, every word of it, bears witness to him. Please, dear brothers and sisters, do what the committee did back in 1963. They did not have a hand-picked committee appointed by the president. Herschel Hobbs chose the presidents of the state conventions, brought them together, representative of our people from coast to coast and Canada to the Gulf of Mexico, and it came up from the bottom. That's why we need to turn back this proposal today and let our people bring it up from their souls. Then it's an honest confession of faith. As it is, a small group is trying to impose its will on rank-and-file Southern Baptists.
Thank you, Dr. Ward. Thank you very much. The chair recognizes the committee. Do you wish to make a response?
I'm going to ask Dr. Richard Land if he will make a response.
Thank you, Dr. Rogers. If you look at the article on scriptures, it says in the proposed Baptist Faith and Message revision, all scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is himself the focus of divine revelation. All of us believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but we believe in the only Jesus Christ that we can know is the Jesus Christ revealed in Scripture. I fully believe that a demonic spirit could come and sit on the foot of my bed tonight and say to me, Richard, I am Jesus, and I want to tell you that everybody's going to heaven. You don't have to worry about it anymore. That could be a real experience, but it would be a wrong experience. Why? Because my experience is judged by Scripture. My experience doesn't stand in judgment of Scripture. And I... I stand before you as a person who was reared, nurtured in the faith in the Southern Baptist Church and went to a Southern Baptist seminary. And in that seminary, I got what I call red-letter theology. And that red-letter theology said the very words of Jesus are most important, and they put them in opposition to the Apostle Paul and said that the Apostle Paul was not up to the standard of Jesus, or that the teachings of Peter were not up to the standards of Jesus, when Jesus Christ himself said to the two on the road to Emmaus, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written." How dare we have a different view of Scripture than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior?
Thank you, Dr. Land. Microphone number two, do you wish to speak for the amendment? Microphone number two.
Yes.
Chair must recognize you.
I'm Laura Monroe, messenger, First Baptist Church, Fort Walton Beach, Florida. I have worked, actively participated in this wonderful Southern Baptist Convention for more than 60 years. I love dearly and respect greatly Adrian Rogers, Jim Henry, Albert Mohler, all of those who have spoken. But I also know, because of my circulation around the convention and the opportunities that have been given to me by the convention, that there are many who are anxious for this preamble to be as written. Now, I do agree with everything these eloquent speakers have said. You are correct, of course, and you are very eloquent, and you are so able to move this crowd, and I do not have that gift. But I do want to say, I hope to keep more peace for publicity's sake, for the cooperation of everyone in our convention, and to keep the love of Jesus in our heart, that we will leave the preamble as written originally. This is my plea, and this is my hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Monroe. Let me just say to you that refereeing this sort of a situation is a challenge, to say the least, and an effort to try to be fair to everyone. We're going to ask even those of you that are standing there with a motion you want to make of some kind, we're going to clear the microphones right now of all but those that want to speak to this amendment in some way. Is that what we're doing?
If they have a motion that pertains to the amendment.
If you have a motion that pertains to the amendment.
Not to the original
proposal. Not to the original proposal, in other words. We want to get that now. If there is a motion regarding the amendment itself.
Press the motion button.
Press the motion button at the microphone if you have such a motion.
Microphone four, what is motion?
Microphone number four, what is your motion?
Mr. President, Kai Kerrigan, Wake Crossroads Baptist Church. I move the previous question.
All right.
The asking is to move the previous question on the amendment only, or on the amendment and on the report?
Brother Kerrigan, may I ask you a question if you're still there? Are you moving the previous question on the amendment only, or on the amendment and the entire report?
May I do the latter?
He may.
You may do the latter.
Yes, sir.
All right. We have moved the previous question regarding the amendment and the report.
Now, make sure they understand it requires that this will cut off debate and that you will immediately put both the amendment and the report to a vote. It requires two-thirds of them to do that.
All right. I have been instructed in the way of the Lord more perfectly by our parliamentarian, who informs me that I must be sure that you understand the nature of the motion. The motion would have the effect of cutting off debate entirely, and we would vote immediately both regarding the amendment and the acceptance of the report as a whole. Is that correct? All right. Let me have just a moment here. Let's see how you do
that. Dr. Patterson?
Mr. Kerrigan, are you still in the land of the living? All right, Mr. Kerrigan is still in the land of the living. What microphone are you standing for? Four. Mr. Kerrigan, the chair feels that it advised you incorrectly, or at least if they did not advise you incorrectly, the committee itself feels that we need to have full time to debate this thing, and have requested that
Mr. President.
Yes.
What I meant to do was move the previous question on the amendment.
Thank you, sir. That, I think, is what we need to do. So the previous question has been moved in regard to the amendment. And is there a second? There is a second. And so it will take a two-thirds vote. So do you have your ballots ready to lift? If you favor let me be sure how I say this, the previous...
If you favor ceasing debate and putting the amendment to an immediate vote.
You favor ceasing debate and putting the amendment to an immediate vote. Would you lift high your ballot right now? Thank you. You may lower your ballots. If you oppose ceasing debate and putting the amendment to a vote at this time, would you lift high your ballots? Thank you. You may lower them. And the chair rules that overwhelmingly the motion has passed, far more than two-thirds. And so as a result of that, we are ready to vote on the amendment. Now, here is the amendment. Let me read it to you one more time. The amendment upon which we are now going to vote would add to the preamble the following statement, quote, Baptists are people who profess a living faith. This faith is rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, the sole authority for faith and practice among Baptists is Jesus Christ, whose will is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. A living faith must experience a growing understanding of truth and must be continually interpreted and related to the needs of each new generation. Throughout their history, Baptist bodies, both large and small, have issued statements of faith which comprise a consensus of their beliefs. Such statements have never been regarded as complete, infallible statements of faith, nor as official creeds carrying mandatory authority. End of quote. That is the motion that is before us, a motion to amend. We are ready to vote then on the motion to amend. If you favor the motion to amend the Baptist Faith and Message Statement with this statement to the preamble, would you lift high your ballots at this time? Thank you. You may lower your ballots. If you oppose the amendment, would you lift high your ballots? The negative has it overwhelmingly once again, and so the amendment has failed. Thank you very much.
Now we're back to the consideration.
We're back to a consideration of the report.
Ask microphone 8 if his motion pertains to the report.
Microphone number 8, does your motion pertain to the report?
Yes, sir.
All right. Please state your name and your church.
Jim Goodrow, First Baptist Church, Sumter, South Carolina. My amendment concerns Article 7 on baptism and the Lord's Supper. The statement currently calls for closed communion, whereas most of our churches serve the Lord's Supper to any born-again persons present. To make the statement consistent with the policy and the practice of most of our churches, I move to amend the first paragraph by deleting the last five words, and to amend the second paragraph by changing the words members of the church to believers in Jesus Christ.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Goodrow. Now, I'm assuming that you are getting that to us in writing just as quickly as you possibly can. Let me ask.
Yes, sir. It's on the way.
All right. Good. And we appreciate that very, very much. So you understand the nature of the amendment. Is there a second to the motion? We have both a motion and a second.
You may speak to it now.
You may speak to your motion, sir.
In 1925, when the first statement was made, close communion, I understand, was fairly common. In the last half century in which I have been attending Southern Baptist churches and a member of 8 churches in 5 states, including 2 churches which had been pastored by members of the committee and previous presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention, I have never been aware of a church that closes communion only to immerse believers. The pastors who serve the Lord's Supper will say something to the effect that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and have been born again in Him, we invite you to participate. In the President's address yesterday, the President described the Baptist faith and message as what most Baptists believe. Most Baptists believe the Lord's Supper should include any born-again person. Therefore, I move that our statements reflect this policy and practice.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Goodrow. And I recognize the committee if they wish to speak against this motion.
Hello. Thank you, Mr. President. I believe we can clarify this in just a moment. Our statement does not deal with the issue that has been spoken of. Dr. Lamb, would you come?
This is one aspect of the confession that has not been changed at all from 1963. It reads exactly the same. And let me just read what it says. It says that it is an act of testimony to his faith in the final resurrection, being a church ordinance. It is prerequisite to the privileges of church membership and to the Lord's Supper. We as Southern Baptists have long cherished our Baptist heritage of congregational order, and that the Lord's Supper needs to be hosted by the church. And the churches in which I grew up and the churches in which I worship most normally say we invite all, it's hosted by the local body of baptized believers, and under the doctrine of the church, we define a church as a local body of baptized believers, and we invite all of like faith and order. Now, I would like to plead with the convention to understand that if we were to say that we invite all brothers in Christ to the Lord's table when we host it in the local congregation, and we don't say of like faith and order, we would be the only Christian group I know of that would be arguing that baptism isn't necessary to come to the Lord's table. You see, all of the other denominations require the sprinkling of infants. We just don't happen to believe that that's baptism. And so I would argue and plead with this convention to stand by our congregational order and our belief, as we define it in our confession of faith, that baptism is the immersion of a believer in the on water as a symbol of their death, burial, and resurrection to Jesus Christ, and as a symbol of obedience, and as a symbol and testimony of our having been converted and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
All right, thank you very much. At this point, I do need to recognize from Jerry Johnson, chairman of our order of business, for a report.
Fellow messengers, the time for business has expired. On behalf of the Committee on Order of Business, I move that we extend the time for this business by 10 minutes.
Thank you so much. The motion is to extend the debate for 10 minutes more. Is there a second to that motion? We have a motion and a second. Now, are you ready to vote? If you favor extending the time by 10 minutes, would you lift high your ballot? Thank you. Ballots down. If you oppose this, we return now to the debate at hand. Is there someone to speak for the motion?
There's someone against on six.
All right. We recognize microphone number six to speak against the motion.
I would like to call for the question on this motion.
Actually, tell him there are no other speakers for or against, so we are ready.
There are no other speakers for or against listed, so we're ready to vote on the amendment, I believe. And so if there is no objection, we will proceed to that since no others are asking to speak. All right, so let me see if I can correctly state the amendment. The amendment is on article number 7, baptism and the supper, and the Lord's Supper, number 7, I believe, and it would require us to change the words members of the church to members in Jesus Christ.
First of all, to delete.
And to begin by deleting the words, and to the Lord's Supper. Hold on just a moment. Let me be sure I'm right.
Well, the original, the confession doesn't say members of the church. It just says that the testimony was made being in church or to be prerequisite to the church and the Lord's Supper. Okay.
All right. We think we know what we're doing. We're not certain. We are certain that the Lord knows in heaven. But we're not certain we know. What we think, we understand the significance of the amendment to be, would be to delete members of the church.
No, no, no.
All right, hold on.
There are two parts.
There are two parts to it.
The first part is to delete these five words from the first paragraph.
The five words from the first paragraph would be deleted, and those would be, and to the Lord's Supper.
Yes. All right.
The second part would be to change the words members of the church to the words believers in Jesus Christ. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, that's as clear as I know how to make it, okay? If you favor this amendment to the motion, would you indicate that by lifting high your ballot at the present? Thank you. Would you lower your ballots? If you oppose the amendment, would you lift high your ballot? Thank you. Would you lower your ballots? And the chair rules that the amendment has failed. We are back now to the original consideration.
Ask microphone 6 to state his motion.
Microphone number 6, would you please name and church and your motion?
Yes, sir. I'm Anthony Sizemore, pastor and messenger from the First Baptist Church of Florida, Texas. I move that Article 1, the Scriptures of the Baptist Faith and Message, be amended to read as follows. The Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired and is the record of God's revelation of himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth for its matter. Therefore, all Scripture is true and trustworthy. It reveals the principles by which God judges us, and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and religious opinions should be tried. The criterion by which the Bible is to be interpreted is Jesus Christ.
All right, we hear your motion. Is there a second? There is a motion and a second, and you may speak to your motion, Brother Sizemore.
Brothers and sisters, I appreciate the efforts of the Baptist Faith and Message Study Committee. I commend them for their work and energy in bringing this report to us. And without any hesitation, I believe the Bible is God's Word, and I strive to obey the standards that it prescribes. The Bible is a book that we can trust. The Bible is a book that points toward the truth. With that being said, the Bible is still just a book. Christians are supposed to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the living Word, not a book. Jesus Christ redeems, not a book. In John, one can read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." One can continue to read, "Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him." I implore the messengers of this Southern Baptist Convention to look closely at a major doctrinal change with the revision that has been proposed. For one must see that the Bible is a record of what Christ has done and will continue to do until His return. I trust everyone present will understand that Christ is the revelation of God. He is not the focus of divine revelation. Instead, He is the full revelation of God. He is the standard by which Christians measure everything. Brothers and sisters, today we must be careful not to elevate the written word above the one to whom it points. The Bible is a focus, is a record that focuses on the Word, Jesus Christ. He is God's revelation to humanity.
Thank you, Brother Sizemore, and I would ask you to be sure that a page is on its way.
It's on its way.
Wonderful. And we ask the page to set an Olympic record, getting down here if he possibly can. And I recognize the committee to speak with regard to this motion.
Mr. President, I'm going to ask Dr. Moeller if he will respond to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what it all comes down to. The issue is whether or not the Bible is the Word of God or whether it is merely a record of God's Word. The issue is whether or not the Bible is true when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The Bible is not merely a record. It is the revelation of God. It is always a triumphant moment when this convention states clearly its belief that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. It would be a tremendous tragedy for, in this moment, Southern Baptists to step back and say something inadequate about Scripture and send a very mixed signal about our most basic belief. Jesus Christ said Himself of the Scriptures, "These are they that testify of Me." Pray tell, what do we know of Jesus apart from the Scriptures? The Scriptures testify of Christ. Let us remember that Jesus Christ Himself said, "Thy word is truth," in His prayer to the Father in John chapter 17. May we stand with our confession, making the good confession made by Jesus Christ, "God's word is truth."
All right. Thank you, committee. Microphone number 3, does your motion have to do with this particular amendment?
I am speaking for this amendment, yes.
You are speaking for this amendment?
I'm speaking, yes.
All right. Thank you. State your name and church, please.
My name is Nathan Kerr, messenger from First Baptist Church of Clarendon Hills, Illinois.
All right.
This motion, as can be clearly seen, calls for a return to the language of the 1963 Baptist Faith and Message and finds its justification on two bases. First, a return to the original reading of the article in which the scriptures are clearly stated to be a record of God's revelation allows us as Southern Baptists to remain true to our assertion that salvation comes only through the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. In essence, then, we as Southern Baptists must avoid collapsing the doctrine of revelation into the doctrine of inspiration. This amendment allows us to avert this danger of collapsing the doctrine of revelation into the doctrine of inspiration. Secondly, I believe a fair reading of the proposed article in the 2000 Baptist Faith and Message reveals an inconsistency between the first statement that says that the Bible is God's revelation and the last statement that reads, all scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is himself the focus of divine revelation. If indeed scripture is a testimony to God's revelation in Christ, then certainly it is prudent to distinguish between this revelation and its testimony inscribed in scripture. This amendment allows us to simply affirm the distinction that the committee has already posed before us and allow a more consistent reading. For these reasons, the said motion to amend resonates not only with the traditional theological doctrines of the Southern Baptist Convention, but with the language and tenor of the proposed Baptist faith and message as well. While I express my gratitude to the committee for their prayerfully submitted proposal, approval of this amendment is vital as a statement of theological and doctrinal clarity by this convention.
All right. Thank you, my brother. We've got a problem, folks. We have run out of time one more time, and I would like to recognize the chairman of our Order of Business Committee, Jerry Johnson.
The time for business has expired again. On behalf of the Committee on Order of Business, I move that we extend the time for business by 5 minutes.
All right. We were reading the other day, and we discovered that when this was debated the last time, that somebody moved the extension of the time by 30 seconds. We're at least doing more than that. All right, if you favor the motion of the Order of Business Committee to extend debate for 5 minutes, would you lift high your ballots? Thank you. Please lower them. If you oppose, lift your ballots. And that has... Chair Roof, that has overwhelmingly passed. We extended 5 minutes, and I recognize the committee for a response.
Mr. President, I'm going to ask Dr. Kelly if he will respond to this proposed amendment.
It's quite interesting that anyone would try to think an affirmation of the Bible is in some way a denial of Jesus Christ. For there is no Christ of our knowledge other than through the pages of Scripture. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Christ. How do we know that? The Bible tells us so. It is in the article on the Son of God that you will read what we are saying, Baptists believe about Jesus Christ. You will find there a very strong statement about the divinity of Christ, the supremacy of Christ, the substitutionary atonement of Christ. But all of that is nowhere. All of that is useless. All of that vanishes if you take away the revelation God gave us of Jesus Christ. Sure, Christ is above Scripture, but we only have the Christ in Scripture to know that Christ, and that's why God revealed His Word. That's why God inspired His Word, so we would have a sure and confident, dependable, true, inspired, inerrant revelation of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and why He deserves the commitment of our lives to serve Him forever.
All right, thank you very much.
Yes, microphone number one, who wishes to speak for the amendment?
Microphone number one, do you wish to speak for the amendment?
Yes, sir, I wish to speak for the amendment.
All right, then please give us your name and church, and then you may speak.
David Curry, a messenger from Southland Baptist Church in San Angelo, Texas.
Thank you, Brother Curry, go ahead.
In Galatians, Paul said, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. I'm glad this committee was not around when Paul received his revelation from Jesus Christ. I met Jesus Christ as an 8-year-old boy in direct contact with the Spirit of God and was baptized in the Concho River on Uncle Bill's place. I didn't know a lot about Scripture. We value Scripture, but when we don't value the revelation of Jesus Christ, I may quote back to Brother Moeller and Brother Land, their problem is not with these speakers or Dr. Wade, their problem is with the Apostle Paul. I support this amendment.
All right, thank you, Brother Curry, and I recognize the committee to speak in response.
I'm going to ask Dr. Land, if he will, to share a word.
Well, Brother Curry, I'm going to, as gently as I can, make a distinction. The Apostle Paul was an apostle. He got his revelation by the Holy Spirit of God, and it was inerrant. The illumination and inspiration that we get from the Holy Spirit in our personal experience with Jesus Christ must be guided by Scripture, because you and I are not apostles, sir.
All right. Let me indicate to you that our time has expired. Let me remind you that we began this report nearly 15 minutes early. We have now extended it quite a period of time. Our time has come to a conclusion, and we need to vote on this amendment. All right. The amendment... May I ask the gentleman who made the motion one question about it? Brother Sizemore, are you still in the land of the living? Microphone number two. Microphone number two.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Brother Sizemore, could I ask you one question? Is your motion, am I seeing this correctly, that your motion is, in fact, an exact return to the 1963 statement?
No, sir. It also includes the revision from 2000 to add the statement of the Scripture is true and trustworthy.
All right. Very good. The reason I was asking was I was hoping I wasn't going to have to try to read your writing, my brother. It's no put down to you, but my old eyes are nowhere good, near as good as they used to be. They desperately need a glorified touch. And so I will attempt to do it. Here is the motion on which we are going to vote. Well, the Sizemore's motion is that Article 1 be amended as follows, quote, the Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired and is the record of God's revelation of himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth for its matter. Therefore, all Scripture is true and trustworthy. It reveals the principles by which God judges us, and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and religious opinions should be tried. The criterion by which the Bible is to be interpreted is Jesus Christ. That is the nature of the amendment proposed. Motion thus made. We have discussed it. We are ready to vote. If you favor this amendment, if you favor this amendment to the Baptist Faith and Message Statement, would you indicate by lifting high your ballots? Thank you. Ballots down. If you oppose to adding this amendment, would you lift high your ballots? Thank you. Ballots down. And overwhelmingly, the amendment has been defeated. We are ready now for the question on the report. We are ready to actually vote on the report itself. So, you have the report before you. You have heard the report of the committee.
Ask microphone two to state his point of order.
Microphone two, your point of order, please.
Mr. Chairman, Rich Peoples from Scotts Creek Baptist Church, Silva, North Carolina. Sir, I first commend the work of the committee in bringing us this report. It appears, based on historical precedent, that it will stand for perhaps 40 years. With that regard, I raise to request that the rules be suspended to extend the limits of debate to the point of the fixed order of business next appearing on the schedule, that fixed order of business being the convention sermon. I believe with all of my heart that we need to spend as much time as we possibly can to obtain the best possible debate and discussion of this proposal.
The chair believes that that is not a real point of order. However, I really believe that what we need to do is to submit it to the messengers and ask you what you want to do. In all fairness to the convention, everybody involved, we have now been working on this for 1 hour. And this would mean, of course, that we would do away with the resolutions committee report coming up and other things of that nature. But I think that the convention ought to decide. So we have a, was it a motion to suspend the rules of our the order of business?
Yes.
Was a motion. Is there a second to that motion? Motion is made and seconded to suspend the order of business as adopted by the convention in order to continue debate. We're going to vote on that right now. If you favor suspending the law, the order of business as adopted in order to continue debate, would you lift high your ballot at this time? Thank you. You may lower your ballots. If you oppose suspending the order of business and want to continue with the vote, would you lift high your ballot? Thank you. Ballots down. And the negative has it. And so we will not suspend the order of business.
One last thing. Make sure they understand that the report they are adopting is in two parts. The printed part here and then what appears in the bulletin and on the screen. It is a whole.
Okay. I'm informed that I should tell you, and I want to tell you, that what you will be voting on is the entire report. It is in two parts, that which you have previously received, plus the additional wording of the preamble that has been placed on the screen behind you.
In your bulletin.
And also in your daily bulletin. And so this is that upon which you will be voting. All right?
Question is on the adoption of the
Baptist Faith and Message Statement as brought to us by the committee. Are you ready to vote? If you favor the adoption of this Baptist Faith and Message Statement, would you lift high your ballot? Thank you so much. Would you lower your ballots? If you oppose the adoption of the Baptist Faith and Message Statement, lift your ballot. Thank you. You may lower your ballots. And once again, the affirmative has it. And so we have adopted the Baptist Faith and Message Statement. All right, Dr. Rogers, I recognize you. Just to introduce the committee, please.
Let me say, first of all, thank you. And we're not trying to force our beliefs.